From the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20. Just three verses. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. And they were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. Ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand Scripture this morning. Brothers, sisters in Christ, it happened more than 2,000 years ago at the silent shore of the Sea of Galilee. One could call it the day that gave birth to Christianity. Jesus entered world history simply by observing, seeing two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and they were ordinary fishermen, and calling them into God's service as fishers of men and women. You know, the story of our faith is the story of men and women who got close enough to Jesus to be inspired by his dream. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and shared his dream, his vision, and hope for times to come. He did so with simple, poor fisher folk. Peter and Andrew immediately let go of all their other interests and followed Jesus. Now, when you read Scripture, it does sound just a little, wee little bit abrupt. What? Followed? No discussion? Not even, "Well, we'll think about it and get back to you tomorrow." No. Nope. Not, "Don't call us, we'll call you." Obviously, something very unusual happened that day long ago when two fishers let go of their only source of financial income and answered the call to become a different kind of fishers. If that didn't happen, you and I wouldn't be here in this church today. What was so special about the dream, the vision that Jesus held and that compelled him to go out and speak to poor fisher people? Well, we know now he had God's kingdom in mind. Even then he was dreaming of a changed, a different world with peace and no war, love and no hate, justice, righteousness without apartheid and discrimination. It was a message that conquered the hearts and the hopes of the impoverished, despised and overlooked Jews of Nazareth who battled to make a living on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said, listen to this, the words of Jesus, "The kingdom of God is at hand." You know, and I always had that idea, the kingdom of God is a beautiful isle of somewhere. and it won't come to us, we'll go there. But if you read the Lord's Prayer, it's a little bit different. I'll come to that. Wow! They believed and they followed. And one just wonders, what was there about that kingdom that got these ancient anglers so excited? Well, we know now Jesus had a vision for this world, our world. We're not going to the kingdom. His vision was that heaven would come to us. No, we will not all wear blue caps when heaven comes to us. It means different. It means that heaven will be born inside us. That was his call. That was his challenge. He had a vision of the world. He had a dream. He had a picture of how life can and how life should be. Jesus saw a world where God ruled, not in a few, but in every heart. Jesus had a vision of a world with righteousness, peace and justice, a world of love, harmony and unity. And that's what he called the kingdom of God. Jesus said that this kingdom is at hand. It's available. It's not merely a distant dream. It's a present possibility. You know, the Lord's Prayer is so much a part of our lives. We pray it, but do we still realize what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Let your kingdom come. And then we continue. Let your will for us, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is how you want it and were willing to be sacrificed and to be crucified. For that truth. Now occasionally, people still catch a glimpse of that kingdom. And when it happens, lives are touched and changed. Like a long time ago, on the shores of the Galilean Sea. Question is, can we still get excited about a world in which you can always trust people to do the right thing because God took up residence in their lives? Can you and I still, after all the heartache and disappointments, can we still get excited about a world that would eventually be without child abuse, without murder, without broken families, or drug addiction? Can we still imagine a world without fear, poverty, or disease? You know, I was writing this down while I was watching the children in Syria after a chemical attack. And right there I got tears in my eyes and a new prayer in my heart. Oh God. Oh God, this world must change. This world must change. And Jesus Christ taught us the way to do it. And if we don't get excited anymore, if we have little hope for the future, let us be reminded that the earliest Christians did get excited. At that time, the dream of Jesus also became their inspiration. They believed that such a world was possible, and they gave their lives to see it become a reality. The disciples also became excited because the role is a role that they would personally play simply by following Jesus. He had a promise. He told them beforehand what's going to happen. You've been catching fish. Good enough. Fill your belly. You're still going to be fishermen. But you won't be angling for fish. I'll give you a new mission. You're going to fish for people. Are we still fishing for people? Or do we just accept that, well, those whom we know and our own little circle, those who still come to church, that's the kingdom? That's not the charge that Jesus gave us. Yeah, the anglers knew everything about fishing for fish. But Jesus was now calling them to something far more significant. He was calling them to introduce men and women to the kingdom of love, the kingdom of power, the kingdom of God on earth. They would not be passive spectators of this coming kingdom, but they would become active participants. Dare we still call ourselves Christians if we are no longer active participants to let God's kingdom come in places where it is still dark and out of reach? They would make a difference, and they did. They made a lasting difference in their world because they were changed in their individual lives. No wonder when they discovered all that they became so excited. This Jesus is giving us a new mission, new things to do. New ways to reach out. And they, deep inside, may have felt, from now on, I'm going to help change the world. You know, there's something so very special about Jesus of Nazareth. There is something so very special about his dream. Because his dream is simply that the rule of God would arrive in every heart, in every life. A dream of a world freed from the grip of man's inhumanity to humankind. Christ is still inviting, even this morning, as we prepare for the table, ordinary people like you and me, with a new, fresh call to follow him. Come on then, let us all be fishers of people. Why do we say that? Because we want to become pious Christians? Oh no. Because we can share one dream, even if the biblical story seems to be 2,000 years ago. We see what's happening in the world. We experience what's happening in our own lives. And that's when we begin to pray with an earnestness that passes all understanding. Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin right here, right now, with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. Let God's way be our way. And we will have nothing to fear into the future. Oh, deep in my heart, after more than 4 decades in the pulpit, have I lost a dream? Have I forgotten the oath that I made in the 60s? Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall live in peace someday. Someday. Amen.